Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 12th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 12, the fifth paragraph, beginning with, "Thus was I convinced," and ending with, "A new world came into view." Today's readers are going to be, we have Luann C. on the steps, Christine M. on the traditions, Robin P. will be reading our paragraph in the Big Book, Eileen M. will be doing our closing, Lisa N., thank you, is standing by as backup in the wings, and then we'll have our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and our announcements will be done by Shelley E. The reference numbers for Sunday, the special edition was 23,114, 23114. And this morning's 7 a.m. meeting is 23118, 23118. For the OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Will Luann C. please read our steps?
Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, I'm Luann C. I'm just really grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. These are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me serve. I pass.
Thanks, Luann C. from Boise. Christine M., would you read the traditions for us?
Hello, everyone. This is Christine M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me serve.
Thanks so much, Christine M. from Missouri. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked, I think I just read that, to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we're resuming our study on page 12, paragraph 5 of the Big Book. Will Robin P. begin to get us started?
Yes, thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in Franklin, Tennessee. Thus was I convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. At long last I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. Ah, that's so good. Oh my goodness, this whole part, I love this part of Bill's story, finally. Woohoo! I grew up in an atheist home, and my grandmother used to call my dad Little Jesus, and they were atheists. My dad, when they went through a lot with religion. My grandmother was Jewish atheist, and my grandfather was a French Catholic. And when they got married, her father put a candle in the window that she had died, and they put an article in the paper that she had died, and she was never allowed to see her family again. So we were raised atheist, and I came in to the Moravian Church in New York City to my first OA meeting, and I saw God on the walls, in the steps. And I went, oh, no, these people have just substituted one crutch for another, and I'm desperate for help. I was such a low-bottom bulimic who was in so much denial and so much shame about being a bulimic that I pretended to myself that I was there to lose 5 pounds, which is the only way I could walk into that door, into that room, because I felt so much shame. And so I saw God in the walls, and I left, and I thought, I need help so desperately. Why do they have that on the walls? And this woman said to me, you know, your only food has been your God, and it's not working. And what you need is just any power other than food to be your God. And I'm so grateful because it was my bridge to God. She goes, just any positive power. And if you could just act as if and get on your knees in the morning and say, please help me, force that I don't believe in yet. And at the end of the day, say thank you. Then go live and have three meals and live in between, three abstinent meals. And I did that. And then I did something where I ended up not staying, and I slipped in. It took me a long time to get back in. But, and I had a very strong spiritual awakening after that that led me to God, and one of the profound variety. And I never would have been open to that if I hadn't had the bridge to God through the 12 steps until I was ready for that profound experience. And I've just celebrated 10 years of abstinence by God's grace one day at a time. And I'm so, so grateful to all of you. Vision, you are my family. You are my support network. I love my sponsor. My sponsor is my angel from God, and I'm so eternally grateful for all of you. God bless you with a very blessed abstinent day, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Robin P., for getting us started. And we'll now take shares, three-minute shares. But although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who else? Star one will unmute you. Again, anyone is welcome to share on the literature. Who else would like to share on this passage?
Christina J. from Washington.
Gotcha, Christina.
Eileen M.
Eileen, gotcha.
Paul R. from California.
Mary C.
Paul, Mary, and Paul, I heard you. Was that someone quietly saying their name? Okay, Christina, Eileen, Paul, Mary. Anyone else today? We'll have plenty
Rachel,
of time.
Rachel,
CB.
Yep, New York.
Gotcha. All right, don't you? All right, that's a great first round. We'll start there. So Christina J. Oh, was there someone else coming in?
Deborah G.
Okay, Deborah, you are on our list too. So
thank you.
Christina J. Sure. Christina J., Eileen M., Paul R., Mary C., Rachel C. B., and Deborah G. Christina J., you are followed by Eileen M.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, boy. You know, this was a long courting to get to that relationship with God that I have today. It was a long journey. I didn't know I needed God like I need him for this program to work for me. I do believe that even in my disease, even when I was the lost sheep out there, that God was always concerned with me. But, you know, you can stand there and say, please come home, please come home. The miracles are here. But unless I take steps towards that light, towards that power, you know, I'm not going to have it. So this was a long courtship. It didn't happen at once where I saw, I felt, I believed. But over the time that I've been in program, my pride, my prejudice, the blockages in my heart have fallen away. A new world has come into view that I now see in 2020 hindsight that I'm living today. I really can't believe that I'm finally there because it took me so long, so many relapses, so many. I thought I was getting it, and then the food was there again. So, you know, I didn't know how this was going to work when I came in, but I just kept taking the steps over and over and over. And I don't mean literally the steps in the big book, just stepping towards God over and over, realizing that I must take those steps deeper and deeper and deeper. And so you see what happened was, as I took those steps towards this higher power that I always felt I had in my heart, as I tried to cultivate that relationship, that courting session, you know, it all opened up for me. It all opened up, and this relationship has become like a lover. And I don't mean in the sexual sense at all, of course. I mean in the lover of my heart, the lover that loves me beyond all else and sits with me in my heart when I have troubles. You know, it's a beautiful thing that happens over time. So it opened up and it opened up and it opened up. I got further and further along. So it, my testimony is that is if you're out there and you just can't figure this out and how you're ever going to come to believe in something, oh, my God. You know, I had something I believed in, so I was a little bit lucky in that regard, but I can imagine what it's like. I didn't have a father, per se, so I don't have any idea what it's like to have a dad. So you could be out there thinking, I have no idea how to have a God, right? But there is something that loves you beyond measure, beyond all humans, beyond all human power, that I feel we must have a relationship with in order to survive life in general, in order to survive life in general, let alone the food. The disease made me want God. The disease threw me to my knees. I had no way out. And isn't that a beautiful gift? I have no way out. But I found this big book, and I found you all, and I found that's the road home. That's the road home that I had to take. For me, it wasn't easy. It wasn't a one and done. And today, it's still not easy. I got thrown in the face this morning. I'll finish up with a little bit of my pride around something, and it was painful to see it. But I had to put that pride down and do the right thing, right? So it's a continuum of cleaning and cleaning and coming deeper to God and coming deeper to living a good moral life and being of service to others. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here today with you all. Love you.
Thanks, Christina J. from Nashville. Eileen. Oh, I'm sorry, from Washington. Washington. Eileen M., you're up. And you'll be followed by Paul R.
Good morning, Barbara. Thanks so much for your service. This is Eileen M. I'm a very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And, yeah, this paragraph is so powerful. It's a real turning point for Bill. You know, at this point in the story, Bill, you know, is stating on the previous page that his belief in God is, you know, he thinks that the power of God in human affairs is negligible, you know, which means insignificant. And I can completely relate to this. I, you know, was just considering that word prejudice. You know, prejudice fell from his eyes. The term prejudice is defined in this book as contempt prior to investigation. That's on page 568. And, you know, I can so relate because I, you know, early on believed that God was limited to serious emergencies, at least for me. It was, you know, God would only intervene in my life if I was in, you know, some dire emergency, like, hey, I'm about to fall from a cliff. Can you help me? You know, and that makes sense because I had a punishing God. You know, that was my conception of God early on in OA, was that, you know, I have to fix this problem on my own if I want to access a higher power. Like, I had to fix myself first because, you know, I wasn't good enough for God, so I had to fix myself. And by the time I met my sponsor in this vision meeting, you know, I had been so beaten by this disease. Oh, my God. I was ready to do anything she asked me. And I chose this person because the problem had been solved in her. And, you know, she told me she was happily abstinent. And I had never heard that before. I couldn't even imagine that you could actually be happily abstinent, you know, happy and abstinent at the same time. I thought, well, and I just wanted what she had. I mean, that was the attraction. You know, she didn't have to promote that. I was completely attracted. I wanted what you all had. I would, you know, listen to meetings over and over, and I was just so amazed by the recovery. You know, and all she did was she laid out the simple kit of spiritual tools for me, and I was desperate enough to do anything. The first thing I had to do, I had to set aside everything I thought I knew about God, you know, and my ideas of God changed radically. But it took a long time. You know, I don't want to crosstalk, but I mean, it took a long time for me to have this, you know, belief that I do now and have this relationship. But, you know, I did exactly what she told me, and I had a spiritual awakening just like she did. And, you know, I'm so grateful. And, you know, the thing is, if you're struggling on this line right now, we have a way out. You know, not only have we stopped compulsively overeating, but we have solved the problem. I mean, it's just, that is a miracle that the book carries, the book carries, that this problem can be solved. So if you're listening right now and you're struggling, you know, keep coming back, get a sponsor, and just, you know, do what we did. And it's incredible what you'll get. So just see what happens. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Ah, thanks so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Paul R., you're up. Please tell us where you're calling from. you said California.
Good morning, everyone. This is Paul R. I'm in California, Los Angeles. First of all, I just want to express my gratitude, like for the men and women in this line and the whole special edition and the vision for you. I learned so much about everything, pretty much, but Bill's story as well. Like, now I'm just a big fan of Bill's story. You know, I listened to some special edition and I did some digging, and it's just so wonderful that what it's like. You know, I feel just like, you know, Bill says in here, I saw, I felt, I believed. And it's, you know, those experience, you know, like part of it coming from the vision for you and coming from my sponsor and coming from, you know, being in this line and, you know, like putting that abstinence together and be really thorough and honest and willing. Because I really had problem, and I was struggling bringing God into my meals. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous as well, and I've been sober a long time ago. And surrendering there, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, it was that time, but I didn't struggle with it the way how I was struggling with food. And like, I've been in the program 2.5 years ago and in here, and you know, I'm having a different surrender. 5 days ago, I just put down the food. It's just like, you know, and probably I said it this before, but this is a different surrender. It's just a non-negotiable, those three meals, and you know, like it's just like, and then the portion and weighing and measuring, and that's just. It's just, you know, I looked up yesterday at pizza and I was like, wow, this is just like drugs and alcohol for me. Like, I just cannot touch it. God, thank you. Thank you that I allow me to believe that, you know, it just goes towards the same stuff. I just can't touch it no matter what. You know, that new word came into view. It's just, you know, that is a view. I had it when I was younger. You know, and my ego started coming in, and it's, you know, everything started, you know, I started thinking and acting compulsively, and that whole beautiful word, it started falling off, and I believe that now, through the 12 steps, and through this client, and through other fellows, and the sponsors, I'm recreating this new word that is available anytime and any day, and it's absolute, infinite, omnipotent, omnipresent, and it's available for anyone who's in this line and struggling. And, you know, it's praying for, you know, somebody's like having struggle, surrendering, that it can come, you know, the willingness. And appreciate the time. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I'll pass.
Well, thanks so much, Paul R. from California. Mary C., you're up. And just before you start, let me just remind my folks who come in, we're on page 12 in the Big Book, fifth paragraph, beginning with, thus was I convinced. So Mary C., you're up, and Rachel C.B., you'll be next.
Good morning, everyone. Mary C., compulsive overeater, and grateful to be here this morning on A Vision for You. And this paragraph just really hit me today. You know, I've probably read this paragraph multiple times, but today what hit me was God is concerned with us. And I'm not saying us humans, I'm saying me. God is concerned. God cares and loves about me. And I never really thought God really cared about me. I always thought that it was my responsibility to live my life and make decisions and be strong and go through life and not ask for help. And I didn't think God of anyone would care about what I weighed and what I ate. But I'm finding in this program, God loves me enough and cares about what I put in my body. And he wants me to be at a healthy body weight. It's a wonderful experience. to finally have reached a normal body weight and not have neutrality around food. I did not think that was possible, but it is possible with God. And I'm learning in this program to come to God and ask for whatever it is I need and to surrender completely to Him. And He is always there for me. And I am so grateful for this program and learning about God's love and belief. And it's wonderful, and I am so grateful, and I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Mary C. Mary, where are you from, if you're not unmuted or muted already? All right, I'm too slow. Rachel CB, you're up, and you'll be followed by Deborah G. Rachel, star one.
Hi there. Thanks so much. This is Rachel CV from New York, and thank you to everyone serving today. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here. Just wanted to kind of chat about the last sentence there. A new world came into view. I love this part of the book. It's just the thing that comes to mind always is this magic, just feeling like this sense of magic kind of coming into view for Bill. And I've had the same experience through working the steps, just coming from, you know, a religious background, knowing of God, knowing what I should do for God, but never really knowing God, never really experiencing God or feeling His presence. And it's just amazing having gone through the steps and having this new world that I'm a part of, you know. And I was on a walk yesterday, and it was great at the start, but about halfway through, it just started dumping snow. I live upstate New York, and it just started, it was like powdered sugar just like coming down. And, you know, I just felt like God was there, and it was just magic. And in the past, I would have gotten really upset or frustrated or, you know, angry or called someone to pick me up. But I just was like, I'm just going to enjoy this, and I'm just going to walk and be with God in this magical moment. And I'm just so grateful for this program for letting me feel that again, that magic of almost like being a kid again. So I'm really grateful for that. And thank you all so much for letting me share. Hope you guys have a wonderful day. Thanks.
Aw, thanks. Rachel CB from New York. Deborah G, you're up next, and then we'll be taking another list of names. Deborah, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Good morning, everyone. Deborah G from Arizona, and thank you. Thank you so much for leading us today and everyone making this meeting possible. And welcome to all the newcomers and all the sharers. Just touching, continue to touch me with your words. It's just so beautiful. And I love that because I want to, you know, have that experience. I remember when I was still trying to control my last alcoholic food, which was salt, and you know, that insanity with it. It was just so awful. And I was in a big book workshop, and I woke up from an unconscious state of self-centeredness, trying to control this whole thing with my food, and saw that I had a fork in one hand and a salt shaker in the other, and I was salting every single bite of food I was putting in my mouth. I wasn't even tasting my food, and oh my God, I saw that. You know, that's one of the experiences I had with God, that I got awakened to see the reality of that, because for so long I didn't. And I remember I had heard this woman on a special edition, and I just loved how she talked about God and the spirituality and the connectedness, and the experience that she had with God. And I wanted that experience at that moment after seeing that within me. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And I knew I couldn't do it anymore, but I needed help. I needed help. And so I called her. I told her what was going on with me and everything. And she said she'd be willing to sponsor me and take me through the steps. And she did quickly. And it was a continued connectedness. I just did the action. I did, you know, honestly, open-minded and willing. And more, I was having that experience of God. You know, I was feeling the experience of God in that. And it was done to me, not by me. It was just beautiful. And I realized how much God loves me and wants my highest good and greatest joy that I did that. And I want to continue to remember that with anything, with my life, day-to-day living, you know, whatever I do, and having that realization of what's there for me if I choose to connect with it. And I'm so grateful that all of you also helped me with your words to get to that place to do that, because I can't do it. I have no power. And that we can hold hands together.
Fine.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much, Deborah G. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too, but we have plenty of time for more shares. So star one, who would like to share this morning?
I'd like to, Larry G.
Ginger.
Okay, Larry heard you, but there was somebody right behind. Was that Ginger?
Sure.
Julie B.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Dorita P.
Dorita. Mm-hmm.
Nancy.
Victoria.
Wendy.
Right, Wendy, got you.
Karen A.
Nancy L.
Let me tell you who I have. Yeah, let me tell you who I have, and then let's see. And I think if everybody keeps it tight, we definitely have plenty of time. Larry G., I think I have Ginger, Julie, Wendy, Dorita P., Nancy L. Who'd I miss?
Victoria
Karen
T.
Victoria T. Got you. All right. Let me stop there just in case, and then we may have a few more minutes. Who was that on the end? I can add maybe one. I don't know if we're going to get there. Okay. So let's hop to it. So Larry G., you're up, and followed by Ginger, and Ginger may not have heard you. Larry G., you are up. Everyone else, please star one.
Thank you. Thanks, moderator, for the wonderful service you're providing to our group this morning. This is just the best meeting. I swear to God, I've been in 12-step a long time, and this is just one of the best meetings fellowships I've ever been part of. I've been thinking about this paragraph, and actually about Bill and Abby, and I was wondering, I don't know if anybody can call me later that knows the history of this relationship, but I always wondered, you know, what did Bill think about Abby, this man who he used to drink with that came to him at the worst possible time in his life and introduced him to a concept that all of us today are practicing, which is to come up with a God, what I call the God of my misunderstanding, the God of our understanding, which is the foundation of our fellowship, and what proves that this is not a cult. You can pick whatever God you want in any form. I just wondered what he thought about all this, and the reason is because I don't know what's happening to me. I have to tell you a self-centeredness and selfishness and pride and ego are dissolving. I'm not here to tell you that I'm free of it. I'll never be free of it. I always have this ego, which I call ego. There is ego. no amigo. It's not my amigo. Kind of doesn't make any sense, you know, but the chains that bind me to my addiction of selfishness and fear and delusion and pride are dissolving. And I'm just, what's inspiring me today is my sponsees, especially the ones who are brand new to this program or who are coming out of relapse, and the courage and absolute courage and strength it takes to stand up against this disease and say, no, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to do whatever it takes. Even if I have to rock in 2 o'clock in the morning with a blanket, I'm not going to pick up that bite. And this inspires me. I want to do better. I want to be a better sponsor. I want to be a better person. I want to be more radically truthful with my food. You know, there's a person I work with. It just makes me cry because this person is the first person I have ever let in. I have never let anybody in the 20-plus years I've been in OA, 25 years, never let anybody in when it comes to food. I've always been dishonest. I've always held secrets. And I've hid things. And I didn't want people to know the truth. And I'm letting this person in as a result of the sponsees that are inspiring me to do so. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry G. Ginger, you are up.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, everyone, and for your wonderful shares. Wow, amazing. Get so much strength from this meeting and the shares. So I love the beginning of this sentence, thus was I convinced that God is concerned with us humans. It makes me feel like God has his arms wrapped around me and is hugging me, and I really feel that. I really feel God's presence in that way and God's love. And when it says, when we want him enough. So I recently started with a sponsor. I worked very hard. There was a lot to do in the that she requested in the temporary sponsorship. And then when I started the abstinence, I was on like day two. I had some questions. I sent her my questions. And she said basically that she's a very busy person and she doesn't think we're a good match. And I was totally crushed because I had worked so hard. I don't know how to not take things personally. I'm actually going to be doing some DBT therapy so that I can, God willing, learn that. But I did take it very personally and, you know, started going down the slope, not with food, but in general. And then I spoke to somebody on an outreach call, and we prayed about it. And I do feel good about the possibility of working with her. So what I want to do, since I took some of the injections and lost 30 pounds on a low-carb diet, and I want to use that low-carb diet, even though I had spoken to Lisa Merrill a long time ago and gotten a diet from her. So I hope that this sponsor is willing to let me do that. But I realized where it says when we want him enough, that I was being very inflexible about this. I'm really sticking to this, that I don't want to jeopardize the 30 pounds I lost, so I don't want to put carbs in my life again in my food plan. And then I realized, well, if it turns out, I hope that if she's okay with it. But if not, then I'm willing to go back to Lisa and tell her I still don't want to add carbs, but I would do a plan from her. And if that's God's will, I just am very grateful that I came to realize that I'm not being flexible. And flexible is one of the traits that we strive for in this program. So I have prayed to God about it, and I'm going to leave it up to God because I want God's plan for me. And I was so down.
Fine.
Thank you. I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ginger. And when you all step up, just let us know where you're from. Julie, you are up next.
Hi, thank you. This is Julie B. from Oregon. Love this passage. Love the shares. Thank you, everybody. I was wondering, you know, like how this works. like how it works on a really deep level, like how not just psychologically, but physically and chemically. I was a chemical engineering major when I started college a long time ago, so I'm always asking questions about things like on the molecular level. And I recently discovered like why the phenomenon of craving is such a hard thing for us. For me, it's sugar. And I'm learning that when I eat sugar, it rewards my brain with dopamine, serotonin, and opioids, which are the feel-good chemicals. And it makes my brain want more and more and more of these chemicals, the phenomenon of craving, right? Not psychological. What I'm talking about is the physical. And when you quit eating your food, whatever it is, your alcoholic food, your brain goes through a withdrawal and it hurts and it's uncomfortable and it makes you go crazy. But this is the exciting thing about the OA program. Meditation increases your dopamine, serotonin, and another chemical that makes you feel better. Prayer increases your dopamine, oxytocin, makes your brain feel better. Helping others increases dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, and endorphins. Talking on the phone with friends also increases oxytocin and dopamine. This program, there's chemical evidence that this program works because of the impact of it on our brains. And when I read this, I was so excited. I was like jumping up and down. Texting other people does not have that effect. Talking on the phone does. So when we're told by our sponsors to call three people, pray, meditate, and be of service to others, that is the exact recipe that I need to counteract the chemical withdrawal that I'm having from not eating sugar and my other alcoholic foods. All of this makes me love this program even more than I already did. Thank you so much, everybody, and I pass.
Thanks, Julie. Wendy, you are up, and I'll just remind everybody two things where we are. First of all, page 12, paragraph 5, and please keep your comments to our literature. Wendy, you are up next.
Yeah, good morning. Wendy M. in Hawaii this morning, 5 a.m., and I'm doing it with all of you lovely people. Thank you, God, for this book. Thank you, God, for my moderator today. Thank you, God. So grateful that I have a program that shows me how to do this thing. The first thing that's really coming to my mind is God can and I can't. In any situation, any problem, whether it's the food, whether it's picking up people, no matter what it is, I can't. I can't figure out anything, and God can. And the minute I remember that I can't figure out anything, right? I can't weigh and measure in my head, right? I can't do anything. That's all I have to say is, I can't, God can. I think I'll let God. And I say this all the time about God, which is, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. So yes, so miracles are happening. I'm having a profound alteration in my reaction to life. I can't even tell you how different I am and how it's just happening constantly. So yesterday, my son tells me, I was angry at him, right? Of course, I was angry. My defects were up. And he was like, Mom, you have no idea what you're like to be around. And then he told me. And the miracle today is that I got quiet, I listened, and I thanked my son and God from the bottom of my heart that I have the ability to stop and listen and say, wow, that's a lot to be around. Thank you so much for letting me know what it's like to be me. What it's like to be around me, right? Humility, right? Surrender, right? Honesty. Yes, it must be really hard. Can you imagine having that conversation with your parents or your grandparents, right? I couldn't. Miracles are happening, right? And then it says here, it doesn't say spiritual liberation of our thinking. I do. Scales of pride and prejudice, right? Open mind. And the other thing I'm doing, which I've never done before, is dating a person And when their defects come up, when their fears come up, I would kick them to the curb. I'm not going to deal with that nonsense, right? And today, I embrace other people's frailties, other people's fears. I'm on a trip with my son and my ex-husband. My ex-husband was having trouble yesterday. I was a completely different person. And it's just God. God is working through me constantly. And all God says is, love the hell out of these people. Love the hell. You, Wendy, you have so much love, and it's all God's love. And God says, that's how you can be useful today, to love on your family, to love on your partner, to love on all of you. Like, that's all I have to do. There's two worlds. There's love, which is God, and there's fear, which is ego, which is self. When I'm in fear, ego, and self, it feels crappy, right? It feels itchy and scratchy. And I have a design for living that shows me, thank you, how to get to love and God and compassion. And this is amazing. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Yeah, thanks so much, Wendy M. And Dorita P., and you are going to be our last share today. So sorry, Nancy L. and Victoria T. So Dorita, you're up next.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason. So I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, thus was I convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. So I grew up with a belief of God, a belief of a punishing God. You know, if I did something wrong, I would be punished. But later, I've come to believe in a God that is my friend, is there for me all the time, is my provider, and all of this. And I'm just really grateful for all the previous shares. Especially, you know, about sugar, because, you know, me as an addict and as a sugar addict, that was like the last thing I wanted to hear. And so if any new people is on the line, most of us have been where you are, which is, you know, about the sugar thing. Now, everybody is not addicted to sugar. I'm in relapse now, and I'm eating sugar. And I just thank you for all the shares. I mean, everybody, you know, the explanation of the, you know, our brain and, you know, but this God thing, I know I'm all over the place, but this God thing, I didn't think that God cared about my food. You know, I thought I was raised, you just have to have enough willpower, you know, and I would see people eat one cookie and I'm like, how can you eat one cookie and I can't stop? I can only stop if it's all gone, you know. That's the only time I can really stop. And you know, it's just amazing, you know. And I've gone to enough AA meetings to know that alcohol to the alcoholic is just like sugar to me. And I'm just so grateful for Overeaters Anonymous because, you know, I was thinking about the Christian faith and, you know, in the Christian faith, they say, you know, we got a whole lot of fish to catch. Has it been 3 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll close with this. You know, I'm just grateful for Overeaters Anonymous. And, you know, we have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of work to do. I'll speak for myself. Because with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks, everybody, for your shares today. And we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see, who's our reader? Eileen M. Eileen, will you take us out with that reading?
Hi there, Eileen M.
A vision for you. Great.
Oh, sorry. Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Recovered compulsive reader in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until